Praise the Lord. And hello again. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're doing tape number 107 today, this evening, this morning, whenever it is that you're listening to this broadcast, How to Have God's Life Living in You, Part 6 today. The Lord has told us that He is our bridegroom. Now, many people say that the Lord is our God, our Heavenly Father, and all the other things. But first, you know, almost every religion says the same thing. But Jesus is the only Savior. He's the bridegroom. And if we're going to have the bridegroom, He must be living in us. The bridegroom states that how can the people of the bride chamber mourn when the bridegroom is with them? The happiest thing in the entire universe for born of the spirit Christians is that they are children of the bride chamber. And we're going to talk some more about that. This means that if the bridegroom is with you, then he states that how could we fast if the bridegroom is with us? When John the Baptist and the Pharisees' followers came to Jesus and asked him, why do your people feast and our people, John's people and the Pharisees' people, fast? Because and that's the answer that the Lord gave them, was how can they fast, because he pointed to himself as being the bridegroom, and that these people that followed Jesus were the children of the bride chamber, and then that they were the invited guests to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And people say, well, how do we get this invitation? And the minute that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as soon as He washes you and the precious blood washes away all your former sins, the Lord Jesus Christ enters into your heart, into your spirit, with the Father, by the Spirit, and you become children of the bride chamber. You also become an invited guest to the marriage supper, to the marriage feast of the Lamb. And you immediately begin feasting from the Word of God, which is the same as the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're not yet the bride of Christ, but we're children of the bride chamber. And I've written something out that you'll be able to hear more of later on in this message, if the Lord leads. There's four different personalities that all of us that are going to be eventually the bride of Christ. We're not yet the bride of Christ. We're children of the bride chamber. We're invited guests. We're people that are feasting with Him. And we're virgins. And all these three are children of the bride chamber, invited guests, and virgins. The Bible talks of the 10 virgins. Five of them kept eating from the feasting with Jesus and feasting on Jesus and drinking of Him, because He is the Word of God. And five foolish virgins did not feast of the marriage supper of the Lamb, and therefore they did not have the bridegroom in them. Now the virgins is the next step. We all are virgins, and virgins look for the bridegroom. The Bible says that the bridegroom cometh, and they're just waiting for Him. But there's several people, I'd say half at least, this scripture tells us, is that five were wise, and they kept dining from the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the other five were foolish, and they didn't have the Spirit of God in them. There was no more spirit in them, and so they wanted to take some oil, which is symbolic of the Spirit, so that they could also meet the bridegroom without being embarrassed. And the five wise ones said, no, we have our own. There's no way that we can after all your hours, days, weeks, months, years of neglect from eating from the marriage supper of the Lamb, from the Lord's feast, are we going to give you any of ours? Because the bridegroom is here now. So the bridegroom is on his way here, but he also is in those of us that keep feasting from his feast. Feasting in hopes in keeping the oil, the wine, the Spirit of God living in us. So the bridegroom is with us, and people that just continuously sin or lie, by lying or whatever, they don't have the bridegroom with them. They're not children of the bride chamber. And, you know, these people that say religion, does this, no, religion cannot save your soul because they're not children of the bride chamber. They are not invited guests because they rejected the bridegroom. They cannot be children of the bride chamber. And so the Lord told them to go out into the highways and hedges, into the streets, and invite the people from the gutter. You see that the Lord Jesus Christ was anti-religion. He was not born in the temple. He was born in a manger. This is against religion. John the Baptist never came out of Jerusalem. He was in the wilderness. He was anti-religion. And all the people of the Lord may not look religious to you at all, because the Lord, again, is anti-religion. Religion has got these great big cathedrals, huge choirs, lots of money. They have all these things, but Jesus was raised in Nazareth, not Jerusalem. There wasn't any priests there when he was born. And when the Lord called the people to be with him, they were not, he didn't go into the temple in Jerusalem to get them. He went along the seashore, and he called ignorant fishermen and people that were anti-religion. They were sinners. He invited them to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He invited publicans, and he sat and drank not with religious people, but with sinners, because when he was sitting with them, he was telling them about the kingdom of heaven. He was talking to them about not religion. He was anti-religious, remember, but he was teaching them salvation, how to be saved, how to accept him into their hearts, how to be members of the bride chamber, so that they don't have to mourn when he is with them. And, you know, when the Lord, then he also went to prostitutes and preached to them. He was not at all preaching to the religious leaders. And some of them believed his message, and those he accepted, like Nicodemus and a few others. But he is absolutely anti-religious. You read the scriptures and you'll see that for sure. Now, he's inviting all sorts of characters into the marriage supper of the Lamb, because the religious folks have rejected him. They feel that they have to be full of ceremonies and rituals, and the Lord had nothing to do with any of these things, with the exception of baptism, and neither did John the Baptist. When the religious people came to him, he stated to them, "You vipers, you snakes, who has warned you to flee from the wrath of God?" He says, "Let me see you start doing the works of salvation before I baptize you. I will not baptize you. Let me know that you are children of the bride chamber before I ever baptize you. religious people are cannot be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because primarily they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They talk about him, but they don't let him live inside them. He is not the bridegroom in them. And so all the different churches may say, well, we believe in God. Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in me, because the Spirit of God is in me, and I am God come in the flesh. I am a man, because I'm here to save your souls if you believe in me, that God is in me. And how could he not be in me when you see me raising people from the dead, when you see me healing entire towns of people, raising many people from the dead? You may say that it doesn't say in the scriptures that Jesus raised thousands of people from the dead, but the Bible says that there is enough evidence. They said they couldn't possibly fill in one book all the different, in all the books in the world, all the different miracles that the Lord did in that day. But he's, but the disciples stated that he, they put enough of these miracles in the Gospels so that people should know without a doubt that God has been on the earth in a man, and that he has provided now for us salvation and healing, and whatsoever we ask, if we have the faith to receive it. Now, so we see that we, when we come to the Lord, we become one, children of the bride chamber, and two, we become the people. We become the invited guests to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And three, we are virgins. We absolutely are free from any condemnation, because we sin not. If there's any sin on our soul after we are saved, I mean, I'm talking about sins that are unto death, and we begin not eating immediately or from the marriage supper of the Lamb right here, then we are like the foolish virgins. We are virgins, and but some of us are foolish virgins. We don't go on to receive the Lord as our personal Savior and our bridegroom. Now, we've been saved, but is the Lord your bridegroom? Is he living in you? And eventually, one of these days, after we've been feeding like wise virgins from the Lord, then eventually we become his bride. But we're not that yet. And I thought it was apropos to break those four stages of becoming the bride. It starts out as the bride, children of the bride chamber, invited guests to the supper, virgins, and then we become the bride of Christ. But we must be pure, clean, perfect. And when the people that are the false preachers in the world today say that you cannot be, you or I cannot be perfect, they're lying to you, because the Bible says, if we're none of us are perfect, then none of us will enter the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of heaven is a place of perfection. There cannot enter anything in the kingdom of heaven that defiles. All right? And so, I pray that those of you out there understand that. And if it went a little too fast for you, this is tape or CD number 107, and it's free of charge. You can order it. These are instructions for you from the Holy Bible, and from the actual feeding table of the marriage supper, excuse me, of the Lamb. Yeah, but right now, let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint outwardly this service And I pray, Father, that you'll make it open up the ears of the children of the bride chamber, the invited guests, the virgins, so that they can realize that they must continue having oil in their lamps. This oil is symbolic, Father, as you know better than I, that this is your Holy Spirit that we get from eating the manna, the bread of life, your Son, your only begotten Son, Jesus, the bridegroom. The bridegroom is with us, and therefore, when he's with us, we rejoice. We enjoy the bridegroom. We enjoy the fellowship of the bridegroom with us. We enjoy being children of the bride chamber, the invited guests, and the virgins. And we're even going to enjoy it more when we are totally consummated with you in marriage, the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we are your bride. We are the new Jerusalem. Lord, anoint this service so that the people that are not yet children of the bride chamber, so that they'll believe and that they'll become children of the bride chamber, invited guests, because they become invited guests the minute that they are saved, the minute that they receive you as their bridegroom, to become one with you as a husband with its bride to be, or with its bride, actually. So these are the four personalities of a person who will eventually be one with you, Jesus, eternally as the bride of Christ. Lord, how to have you living in us? This is the exact way that we have you living in us. And I pray, Lord, that both saint and sinner will hear this message and receive it fully. In the name of Jesus, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, you have letters today?
Yes.
Okay, where's the first letter from?
First letter's from Iloilo City, Philippines. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you all in the name of our Almighty God. Thank you for the items that you sent me. It's all important to my ministry work here! Exclamation point. I'm passing it to others who also enjoy reading it, and we're also interested to read the Word of God. I am also using it for Bible studies and in the church as well. As of now, I still have enough literature, but I would just like to request the Messiah books, New Testament Bibles in large letters, one white small size t-shirt for a teenager if available, also copies of Beware of Receiving the Pope's Blessings, taped messages, and visual aids for children if you have them.
Why are we to beware from receiving the Pope's blessings? Is because every time that we see in history that the Pope has blessed somebody, some horrible catastrophe happened, such as when the Lord allowed the Titanic to go down because the Pope blessed it, and the Pope blessed President Kennedy and he was killed. And there are, this piece of literature shows a whole lot of different things that the Lord and people that, not the Lord, but things and people that the Pope blessed, and they wound up dead. Okay, then what?
We have some 25 to 30 children being given Bible lessons, but we lack materials for them. Whatever is available will do. For all these, thank you so much in advance. We pray for your ministry, that God will abundantly bless your works. Pastor Alamo, I wish you more power. Because of Christ, Fred from Iloilo State, Philippines.
Praise the Lord. I wish you more grace or power, which is the same thing as the power of God in Jesus. And I know that you will. You have, if you have the bridegroom with you, and you're then an invited guest, you're a virgin, and keep those lamps burning. Keep the oil in those lamps burning so that you'll become the bride, eventually, of the Lord. Then what?
Next letter's from Accra, Ghana. Dear Pastor, I am sending you greetings from all the way in Ghana. I am very excited to tell you that I have at last accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and that He came and died on the cross. Formerly, I was in the world not knowing God. I read through your literature, and now I am born again. I was lost, but now I'm found. As of now, I have no Bible. If possible, send me one, and also your booklet, The Messiah, if you will. Also send me other books that can help me to know God well. I will appreciate it. May God richly bless you. Signed, Felix from Accra, Ghana.
Praise the Lord. I give him everything he wants and more. Then what else?
Next letter's from Niger State, Nigeria, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony, Calvary greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I say, may the peace and mercy of God abide with you, your ministries, and all your family in Jesus' name. I also pray that God Almighty will not allow the power of Satan to overcome your life in Jesus' name.
Well, if we keep the bridegroom in us and we enjoy the bridegroom, if we're children of the bride chamber, that is, and he's with us, we are always rejoicing. And the Bible says that the praises and the rejoicing of the saints are the way of life. Amen?
Amen.
That the Lord abides, the life abides in us as we're praising and thanking him no matter what we go through. We should not complain because the bridegroom is with us. We are children of the bridegroom, of the bride chamber. We are the invited guests. We're the last of the Mohicans, so to speak. We're the ones that are the roughnecks, the ones that were the sinners, the ones that never claimed to be righteous, the ones that the Lord sent his spirit or his people with the spirit in them to get us. I, myself, was saved by the Lord coming after me himself, as he did the Apostle Paul. And I just thank and praise God for that, because I was so far out in darkness that there was no human being that could have ever witnessed to me and caused me to be saved. But the Lord came after me, and now I'm an invited guest into the kingdom of God and a virgin, and I pray that you will be the same as I, in the name of Jesus. Okay, then what?
Sir, I thank you very much for the copy of your book, The Messiah, and the Holy Bible you sent to me. I pray that God will bless you in Jesus' name. I have received 40 copies of The Messiah and 12 copies of the Holy Bible. Thank you very much. Also, I have gotten much of your literature, which I distributed to some of my church members to give them out. Also, I have seen a great reply from many people asking me where did I get such types of materials, and through this book called The Messiah, many people have been giving their lives to Jesus Christ. Sir, I must confess to you that the book called The Messiah is not an ordinary book, but a powerful and a divine book from God Almighty. The book has affected not only my life, but the entire members of my church, even my family in particular. I say, God bless you, Pastor. However, every Sunday, people start asking about the literature, the Messiah book, and even Bibles. Please kindly send me more of these materials, including the literature, 10 copies of the Bible, 20 copies of the Messiah, and other literature books that you have written, cassettes, and other materials. These books are winning thousands of souls in Niger State, which is a Muslim state. However, Pastor, I beseech you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to pay a visit to Nigeria for evangelism, especially in Mina. Sir, I read that you assist people in building churches. My church is small, and we have just started rebuilding another one. Please, if there is any way you can assist in the building of my church, I will be looking forward for your reply. My prayer is that God Almighty will bless you in Jesus' name. Thanks, and God bless. Jesus is Lord. Yours in Christ, Gabriel, from Niger State, Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord. We'll help you in any way that we can. We definitely send them a couple of cases of Bibles and plenty of Messiah books and literature. And we'll just see what else the Lord will have us do for them. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now let's read a little bit of this which I had dictated just before we got on the air here. Go ahead.
Four steps, children of the bride chamber.
Okay, these are four different steps or aspects that you have to go through to be children of the bride chamber, to become the bride of Christ. Go ahead.
The Bible says we're the children of the bride chamber. The Bible not only tells us that the Lord Jesus is our bridegroom, but that we are actually four different kinds of people. That is, we are four different kinds of people to him. The book of Matthew and the book of Luke show us that he is the bridegroom and that we are the children of the bride chamber. We are also the people who are with the bridegroom in his chamber. If we're saved, we are in the bride chamber and we are children of the bridegroom. We love the bridegroom. In that sense, we are not the bride at this moment, but we are children of the bride chamber. So we look upon him, the bridegroom. His presence is extremely wonderful and pleasant to those of us that know him and see him.
Why? Because he's living in us, and it's him, the Word of God, that gives us the strength. That's, he's living in us. It's God living in us, and he lives in us from his Word. While we read his Word, he enters in with the Father by the Spirit. Then what?
So the children of the bride chamber are certainly not like those in the world, because the people in the world are dead. So we can liken the world itself as a funeral home.
Right, a funeral parlor, because they're all dead. That's just that simple. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
We aren't in a funeral home. We are in the bride chamber.
Yeah, we're in the, where it's fun and happy and gladness, and the Lord is with us. The bridegroom is with us, and everything is happiness. Amen?
Amen.
And joy. If you're not happy, well then, why? If you say you're a Christian, it must be that the bridegroom is not in you or with you, because the children of the bride chamber cannot mourn when the bridegroom is with them. Amen?
Amen.
That's what Jesus told the Pharisees and John the Baptist's disciples. All right. So if you are, if you have Jesus in you, if you're children of the bride chamber, then smile. Right now, smile. Amen.
Amen.
Don't frown. Smile, and don't be saying all the troubles you're going through, because the bridegroom is with you. So smile, be happy, and rejoice. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Then what?
We are the people of the bridegroom in the bride chamber.
Yeah, in him. Amen?
Amen.
And he in us. Okay? And if he be in us and we are in him, then who could be against us? It would only be yourself, because you're not rejoicing as children of the bride chamber should. You're on your way to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you're eating the marriage supper of the Lamb as we're getting closer and closer to it. Isn't that nice?
Amen.
Isn't that happiness?
Yes.
Okay, then what? So smile. Because more than candid camera, you're on more than candid camera, the Lord sees every frown, every grimace, and every sadness that you have. You think you're going through it? Well, maybe you're the one that's causing the people that are the preachers of the bridegroom, maybe you're causing them sadness too. So rejoice. Let's see a smile on your face. Come on. There, that's better. Okay, then what?
In the second place, we are the guests invited by God to the wedding. So we are children of the bride chamber, and we're also invited guests. And we are the guests invited by God to the wedding feast of his Son. This is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 10, and Revelation chapter 19, verse 9.
Okay, then what?
The Father, the living God, now is preparing a wedding feast for his Son, inviting whosoever will to attend it. We are not only the children of the bride chamber, but also the guests invited to the wedding feast. You can ask the people in the world, and I'm asking you out in Radioland, have you not received an invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb?
Well, if you haven't received an invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, it will be given to you the minute that you kneel down this evening or this morning or this afternoon and ask the Lord to enter into your mortal body. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Don't you want to be invited?
Amen.
Well, then smile, because you're going to be asked this very within the next hour. All right, then what?
Well, if you haven't, then on the day that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will be invited. Everyone that is saved has been invited by God the Father. Quote, all things are ready, unquote, he said. Quote, call them to the feast, exclamation point, unquote.
He sent his messengers, I'm one of them, one of many, and I'm inviting you to the feast. All right, then
Amen.
What?
And we are at the present, right now. If you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are now feasting of that marriage supper of the Lamb, the big feast. So whenever you come into his presence, you must realize that you have come to a feast. When people are gathering together to go to a service at a church or a meeting place, we must have the realization that we have come to a wedding feast, to fellowship with the Lord.
Yeah, you're not going there to be taught or or to hear doctrine primarily. You're there to feast with the Lord. Now, when I first got saved, I didn't know anything about the Lord, but oh, how I was feasting with him. I was just praising and thanking the Lord. I didn't know anything about him, with the exception that I knew he existed, and I could feel the fantastic. The word fantastic is not adequate enough, but I could feel his presence coming into me and coming up out of me and into me and out of me, just like a total feast. It was a joyful thing. All right, and so when we go to church, you're supposed to be preparing yourself for the feast, to go there and fellowship with the Lord there as a body of Christians, the body of Christ. So you're there. When we are like, if you're a religious person, you're going there and you're taking all kinds of notes and everything and doctrine and the different do's and don'ts and all this sort of stuff. But it's much nicer when you're just feasting with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. You know, it's like you're swimming in the Spirit. And you know what's right and wrong when the Spirit of the Lord is there, when you're feasting with him so much. You're not going there just to eat. You're there to feast. Amen?
Amen.
You're not going there to fast. You're going to feast. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Bible plainly tells us to fast, but and that's why the people, the Sadducees, Pharisees, and John the Baptist people were coming to Jesus and saying, why are your people, in essence, sinning? We're fasting. We're righteous. And your people are feasting, because they're sitting there and feasting with a bunch of publicans and sinners and prostitutes. I mean, what's the story with you, Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
Well, they just got saved and they're feasting with him. They don't know Jesus as these new disciples did, these renegades, this publican, these sinners, these ignorant fishermen, and this tax collector. But they knew him now as they were the children of his bride chamber, because he said they were. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
You can come to the church to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The meeting at the gathering place must not be just a meal, but it must be a feast. And not an ordinary feast, but a wedding feast.
Right. You've got to remember that you're on your way to Canaan land. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And you're actually there sitting with him in heavenly places, and he's in you. Amen?
Amen.
The bridegroom. And that's where it's at, you know, not in religion. Amen?
Amen.
It's a whole different thing completely. Then what else?
Whose wedding is it? Well, the Bible tells us that it's the Lamb's wedding. You come to the church, the gathering place, to hear a message or a teaching or for learning. You must come to the wedding, to the meeting, for feasting.
I'm saying that's a typo there, that you don't go to the church for what?
To hear a message or a teaching or for learning. You must come to the wedding, to the meeting, for feasting.
Yes. for feasting on the Lord. It's all right, you know. Of course, we're going to have a message and teaching, but the main thing is to feast. Amen?
Amen.
You want to keep that oil in you, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, don't you?
Yes.
Huh? Okay, then what?
That's the main purpose of going to the gathering place, is to feast with the Lord. Because if you're born again of the Spirit and the Bridegroom, you are children of the bride chamber. You are invited guests, and you are the guests that have been invited to the feast so that you can feast with the Lord on the Lord. Like now, as I'm speaking, I'm also feeding a lot more than anyone that I know. And in the third place, we must be virgins going forth to meet the Bridegroom. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. In one sense, the Lord Jesus, as the Bridegroom, is with us. But in another sense, He is away and is coming back.
So He's both in us and away from us. He's about to come back, amen, and take us up to the marriage supper of the Lamb, amen?
Amen.
But we're there now anyway, all right, if you're doing it the right way, all right?
Amen.
If your awareness of the Scriptures and the meaning of the Scriptures, if you've got that, well, then you're dining high. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
In another sense, we are with Him and we are enjoying Him, but in another way, we are waiting for Him, the virgins. And we wait for Him in the way of going forth to meet Him. Actually, we are the virgins. It doesn't make any difference whether you are male or female. As one going forth to meet the Bridegroom, you are a virgin. We are all virgins going forth to meet the Bridegroom. So if we're virgins, we have to be going out of the world to meet Him.
Yeah, we have to keep going more and more and more out of the world. Amen?
Amen.
As we feast more of the marriage supper, we keep going more and more out of the world. And up towards heaven. Now, we're not of this world, amen?
Amen?
Just as Jesus is not of this world. But He has another kingdom, and so do we. Okay, we have the same kingdom He has. All right, this is real Bible teaching, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Well, how do you go out of the world? We must have the Lord's life living in us.
How to have God's life living in us, amen?
Amen.
Well, this is it. Then what?
Those of us that are in the body of Christ, we are all virgins looking for His coming. That's the very thing that we are waiting for. That's our primary focus, our goal. He is the coming Bridegroom, and we are the virgins.
Now we want to just meet Him, then see Him, you know. I will know Him. Yes, I'll know Him. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, glory to God. Then what?
And if you're a virgin, then of course you love Him. We are all waiting for Him, and if you're a virgin, you're eagerly seeking His coming. So we're the children in the bride chamber with the Bridegroom. We are the guests invited to His wedding feast, and we are feasting with Him. And we are virgins going out of the world to meet Him. Now we must realize that because of the fact we are virgins, we are those who have nothing to do with this world at all. Our purpose, our goal, our aim is only Christ, and we are going forth to meet Him out of this world. If we are still involved in this world system and the things on this earth, if our goal is still something on this earth, in this world, we all become nothing, and we're not virgins. I look at some of the people in this church, especially sisters, and I know that they are not sisters, but you are really chaff. You are full of earthly aims and goals. Your aim is not the Bridegroom's coming or His feast. Your aim is something else. So I believe that also some of your work is just earthly work. You are pursuing some business other than the Lord's business, other than the Lord Jesus. But everyone that is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven must be virgins and have nothing to do with this earth, this world system. Our goal is His coming. Our goal is Christ. We are pursuing. We are pointing to Him. If you're headed for the marriage supper of the Lamb, He is your real enjoyment. If you're not such virgins, shooting at Christ or aiming at Him, you're missing the enjoyment of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first place, we are the children of the bride chamber, those of us that are going to heaven. Secondly, we are the guests. And in the third, we are virgins. And in the fourth, we are the bride. We're not only the children of the bride chamber, and we're not only the guests that have been invited. No, there's more to it than that. But we've been invited to the wedding feast. We are not only the virgins waiting for him, but we are actually the bride herself eventually. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 8, and chapter 21, verses 2 and 9. All of us that are in the body of Christ, have you realized that he is so much to you and I, and we are so much to him? Because he is so much to us, we must be that much to him. So there are four different people that are to enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ in a full way. These four ways are all for our enjoyment of Christ as our bridegroom. In the first place, we are the people in the bride chamber enjoying the bridegroom. In the second, we are the guests, enjoying him as our feast. In the third way, we are the virgins, enjoying the coming of the bridegroom. And eventually, we will all be the bride, to enjoy the bridegroom to the utmost. Thus, to enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ as the bridegroom, we must be four kinds of personalities to him, four different persons to him. In these four ways, we enjoy Christ to the fullness. It's very rich and sweet. So I pray that the Lord will impress all of you and all of us deeply with all these four different ways and kinds to bring us into the full enjoyment of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ in a full way, you must be one of the children of the bride chamber, again, and you must be invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb, and you must be one of the 10 virgins, of course, not the ones that fell away, and a part of the bride, a member of the bride, the body of Christ.
But you know the parable of the 10 virgins, five of them fell away. That right there is another example of how false that doctrine is, once saved, always saved. The only eternal security that there is if we continue till he comes without sin, without spot, without blemish, if we continue as virgins, people of the bride chamber, if we continue letting the Lord live in and through us, if we are virgins to his looking for his coming. Amen. Then what?
We are all waiting for the day when our bridegroom will return and take us to be with himself as his bride. That day has not yet happened, but we may at least enjoy him now in the first, second, and third ways. Sometimes, however, we do have a real foretaste of enjoying him in the fourth way, or the fourth sense, as his bride. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So, yeah, so we're children of the bride chamber, we're invited guests, and we're virgins, and sometimes we know that we're his bride. We know. We get that close to him. All right, now we are going to continue some more with this piece of literature that the Lord gave me several years ago on how to have God's life living in you. This is part six, and again, if you want copies of this tape or CD, it's free of charge. It's tape or CD number 107. Go ahead.
The Bible begins with two trees, and it ends with the results of the two trees. The Word of God begins in the same way that it ends. God never created man so that man could live according to his own will, do his own work, have his own ministry, or live independently from God. God and man must become one through Jesus for man to have eternal life and for God to do his work in him and through him. God told Adam what his purpose was in the first chapter of Genesis. God's purpose was to give Adam and his descendants his authority, dominion, and power over all birds, all fish, all cattle, all beasts, and, quote, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, unquote. Adam was to subdue the earth, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. The entire Bible tells us that God's purpose is to live in man whom he created in his image, so he can express himself through every age, both in and through obedient mankind. In this way, he is also able to deal with his enemy, Satan, and all the unclean evil spirits who follow Satan. There are three beings in the universe. The first is God, the second is Satan, and the last is man. Man stands in the valley of decision between God and Satan. Man, with his free will, decides who he will spend eternity with.
Yeah, which tree he's going to eat from. Either the tree of life, which is the marriage supper of the Lamb, the invited guest, the virgin, the children of the bride chamber, or from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Today, the most symbolic tree that I see symbolizing that tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the computers. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Everything is the business of God in Jesus, because, quote, by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, unquote.
And how did he do that? That was with the Word. Jesus is the Word, and the Bible plainly tells us that there wasn't anything in heaven or on earth or in the heavens that was created in any other way or by anyone else but by the Word of God, by Jesus. He created everything, the earth and the fullness thereof and the kingdom of heaven. Then what?
That was Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. This means that his living and working in obedient human flesh, Christians, gives his power, dominion, and authority to them so they can rule everything and subdue the earth.
See, all the parables tell regarding Jesus being in us. This is it, the tree of life and the bride, children of the bride chamber, the invited guests, the virgins, and we're eating from the marriage supper of the Lamb already. Amen?
Amen.
Behold, the Lord cometh in clouds, and every eye shall see him. And I want to be in the air meeting him when that happens. Amen?
Amen.
And I will be. Don't you worry, brothers and sisters. No satanic being or power is going to overcome me, because I have the bridegroom living in me. Amen?
Amen.
I'm a child of the bride chamber. I'm an invited guest, and I'm a virgin. Praise the Lord. Then what?
Moses wrote a clear record of God's entire creation, Genesis chapter 1, which Israel preserved for the world to see and receive. This record shows that on the sixth day of creation, God made a man in his own image to live in and work in. Before God created man in his own image for him to live in, he was merely a spirit. He was abstract, invisible, and hidden. His purpose is to represent himself to the world in man as a man, so the people of the world, seeing God representing himself in a man, the image of God, will understand how to know him personally, which means they will realize the importance of eating God in Jesus, the tree of life, to have his life in them. Then they can know God by his living in them through their reading and hearing the Word of God, and be transformed from fallen men to God-men. God is not eaten into man's spirit through the mouth as we eat food necessary for our human bodies. God, the Word, which is our spiritual food, is eaten into us through our eyes and ears by our reading and hearing the Word of God, which again is the tree of life. Our reward is to eat from the tree of life.
And that's also the same thing as eating from the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen?
Amen.
It's all Jesus, the Word of God. Then what?
Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 and 17, and chapter 22, verse 14, tell us that our right to eat from the tree of life depends on whether or not we keep all of God's commandments.
Well, if the bridegroom is innocent, we have the power, if we're children of the bride chamber, the invited guests, the virgins, we have the power within us to do that. But a lot of the virgins get tired of well-doing. And the Lord says, be ye not weary of well-doing, of allowing the Lord to work in you and through you. Don't start kicking back the older you get in the Lord and think that you've got it made, because the Bible plainly tells us that if we turn back after all the things that the Lord has done in and through us, then all the good things that we've ever done, that the Lord has ever done in us and through us, are totally erased. And what a horrible thing that would be for the Lord to erase all the good things that we've done, that he's done in and through us, and then we'd just be waiting for an eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Okay, then what?
We are rewarded for keeping God's commandments by being given the right to eat from the tree of life.
Or the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then what?
When we don't keep God's commandments, we cannot eat from the tree of life any more than Adam could have after he disobeyed God's command.
Or we don't have the bridegroom with us because the bridegroom will not stay in a person, a child of the bride chamber, if they decide to begin sinning again and they don't eat the marriage supper of the Lamb, if they don't accept the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He invited everybody, but they refused, so he went and got the gutter snipes, such as a lot of people that are being saved today. Dopers, drug addicts, prostitutes, every kind of sinner there is, lesbians, homosexuals. We're all invited if you'll come and if you'll live according to the Bible, the Word of God, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the tree of life. Then what?
This is because, quote, sin is the transgression of God's law, unquote, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Sin separates us from God, the tree of life, just as sin separated Adam from God, the tree of life. If we're separated from God, we cannot eat from the tree of life.
You cannot eat from the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's the same thing. You can't be children of the bride chamber and be sinners. You can't be invited guests if you're a sinner. You can't be a virgin if you're a sinner. Sinners, they've already been raped by Satan. You're not a virgin anymore. You love Satan. You love to have illicit sexual relationships with him or her, whatever it is. I sometimes think that Satan is a overindulgent fat sow of a female. Okay, then what?
We have no right to, because God doesn't reward sin for unrepentant sinners. God only rewards those who obey his commandments. And if we don't eat from the tree of life, our inward man dies. Quote, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear, unquote. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. Throughout the Bible, God has only used obedient human flesh to live and rule in. God in Jesus, by the life and spirit in God's word, created all things. Therefore, he and he alone has the authority to rule everything. However, he does his ruling through obedient human flesh. Jesus tells the world, quote, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, unquote. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18.
And that power, all of that, some of that power is to keep you standing if you just do what he says. Amen?
Amen.
And keep you to where you can do every... You can break away from pornography. You can break off away from being a homosexual. And again, I say, you may say, well, I was born that way. That's why you have to be born again of the Spirit. Amen? Because
Amen.
The Spirit holds the entire universe up. Take a long shot at this earth in air, just in mid-air. That's the Word of God is holding that up there, and the moon, and the Lord is the one that set the sun ablaze. And he called it to blaze by his word. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Then what?
Jesus tells the world, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and added that Satan hath, quote, hath nothing in me, unquote. John chapter 14, verse 30.
No, so Satan can't have anything in you either if you want to be children of the bride chamber, if you want to be invited guests or virgins. If you want to be the bride of Christ, there can't be any of Satan in you. Don't let these false prophets, these evil preachers, wolves in sheep's clothing, lie to you. The Lord warns about them in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Okay, go ahead.
On earth, God's authorities are those he lives in, his ministers, those who let God tell them what to say and what to do throughout every waking hour of every day.
Right, these... New government Bibles to tell you that the authorities are the Antichrist. Don't believe them, all right? Do not believe these study Bibles that tell you these things. I see my time is up today, and I would encourage you very much to listen to part seven of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is tape 107 or CD 107. But before we close, I'd like to give you an opportunity. I'd like to invite you to the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And as I said earlier in the broadcast, that this happens the minute that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So why don't you, wherever you are, just kneel down. If you're in a vehicle, it doesn't matter. Park someplace. You don't have to kneel. And just say this prayer to the Lord. Repeat it after me. Say to the Lord sincere, with all sincerity, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins and my former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, Lord Jesus, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away and my former filthy sins away in your precious blood that you shed for me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash every filthy sin away. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me. I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. And until tomorrow, we'll be continuing on How to Have God's Life Living in You. It'll be part 7. And remember, this is tape 107 or CD 107. Until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord with all your heart and soul. Amen.